It's the Beckler and Shauna podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
It's Thursday, March 21st, 2024. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
This is the old Piss Cast.
Yeah, it is.
Beckler and Shauna Piss Cast. The pissers, we call all around here.
Yep.
How are you now, Shauna?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah, not so bad. Not so bad. I just want to... So, my boys listen to the podcast. They both listen on the app CastBox because it goes all the way back to episode one, whereas, like, I think Apple Podcasts only goes back 300 episodes.
Right.
Don't know about Spotify. But Bo was saying, there's only two comments on your podcast on CastBox. I was like, well, that's not very good. And then I was looking at our reviews on Apple Podcasts, and we haven't had one since, like, this week last year.
Wow.
It's been almost a year.
It's been a long time.
So if you haven't left us a review on Apple, I don't think Spotify, you can, like, leave comments and stuff on each episode.
Yes.
And we appreciate that, but... if you could leave us a review on Apple, it will definitely help people find the podcast.
Yes.
Pushes it up in the old algorithm there, I think.
Yeah, it does.
And we always like to read your comments on the show.
So we
you
do.
Can say whatever you want.
Yep.
This is your chance to sound off about the podcast, and we will read it word for word.
Yes, we will.
On an upcoming episode.
Mm-hmm.
On today's show... We're going to talk, we did an interview today that's going to air tomorrow for Career Day.
Yes.
And,
it's really cool.
Should we say what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a homicide detective.
We chatted with a retired homicide investigator.
Yes.
So we're looking forward to playing that for you tomorrow, on tomorrow's show, but, that is not on today's show. Career Day is a bit late this week.
It is.
We're going to talk about the carbon tax going up.
The carbon tax.
A place that's banning tourists and whether anywhere around here should think about doing that. We get deep into some nostalgia. Talk about the upcoming solar eclipse. A mini golf accident that my brother was involved in years ago. You heard that right. A mini golf accident. Mm-hmm. And
soft.
Women who stay very active while they're pregnant. Maybe even participating in some surprisingly physical activities.
Yeah.
That after your out-of-context clip. Tax?
Nope. How about that?
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
Yesterday on the show, we were talking about how much people's bodies can change.
Yeah.
How quickly they can change, how dramatically. I specifically mentioned pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
My friend is 6 months pregnant, and she and her husband just got back from a snowboarding trip.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I think they cut the trip a bit short because she was a little concerned about snowboarding with the baby.
I know my sister, when she was pregnant with her first kid, she was pretty conscious of that. Like, was just like, I'm not going to go skiing. But then her second, she did a couple times, but like very leisurely, you know,
very easy.
Yeah, like, doing some green runs and that's about it. Yeah.
Like, I'm always amazed at how active some women are, like, deep into their pregnancies, you know?
Yeah.
Like, McKenna, with both of our boys, I think she worked out the week that she had them. Like, was in the gym the same week that she had them.
And you can do some lower impact exercises. That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
How about this, though? My brother knows this girl who was about 6 months pregnant playing university basketball.
What?
Yeah, she played, like, right up till I think she was 6 months pregnant.
Okay. I don't know if I would recommend that.
Well, I mean, I think the baby's pretty protected in there, but I just picture this girl with a pregnant belly, like, down in the paint, banging with the other big girls, you know?
I mean, although they'll probably give you an advantage, because if I saw a pregnant woman on the court, I'd be like, I'm not going to go near that.
You're not boxing out a pregnant woman that hard, are you?
You just want that on you. Okay, you take it, okay?
Your rebound.
Yeah. You go for the basket, it's fine.
In that sense, I mean, should it even be allowed? Does it give her a competitive advantage? I mean, I guess she's out there, but like you said, as an opponent, you wouldn't want to.
She's grasping her in the belly, and you're like, right? Does she have the ball, or is that the kid? I don't know.
Legal substitution. That's two players in one. You got a baby in your body.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
Here's a throwback Thursday for you, Beckler, to lunch in high school. Okay, I know you went home for lunch a lot, right?
In elementary school, I did, because I lived right down the street from the school, so I could run home in like 30 seconds.
Okay, but high school, did you bring a lunch?
Typically, yeah.
What was your staple meal when you brought a lunch to school?
When I brought a lunch?
Yeah.
Usually just a sandwich.
And would you make it or your parents?
My mom would.
Okay.
Yeah. I was lucky.
I was having flashbacks to the horror of lunches that I used to have when I grew up. When I went home, the odd time I'd go home, and it was always Pizza Pops, and I'd make homemade cookie dough. That was always the best. That would be my lunch.
Pizza Pops and cookie dough.
Good wholesome lunch back then.
All your food groups covered there, don't you?
Yeah, yeah, but... when my mom would pack me a lunch, it was always, it's like a weird salad that would be wilted or something like that. And there'd also be a lot of times where we wouldn't actually eat our lunches. And it wasn't just me. I had a lot of friends where we would get our lunches packed from our parents and then we wouldn't wind up eating them.
Just throw them out?
We'd throw them out.
Oh, man, that's rough.
And looking at the
cost of... So wasteful.
I know. Especially how expensive everything is now. I'm like, can you imagine being a parent and having your kids' lunches being tossed out like that?
Well, I know, like, when my boys come home, McKenna, like, goes through their lunch kits. I was like, did you eat everything?
Interesting.
And if there's anything left over, especially anything that could spoil?
Yep.
Ooh, not good.
No.
Not good.
No. I also had a flashback to, we used to have Tupperware, and my mom would put milk in, like, these Tupperware... vats,
like a drink
essentially
container?
It was like a drink container, and she'd always pack milk in those, and it was disgusting because those things just don't clean the way they should. And so if there was milk in there over time, it would just kind of smell like spoiled milk. And
would it stay would it stay cold?
It would not really stay cold. That was before the times of the modern day thermoses that actually stay cold or warm as well, right? So I'd get this thing that was kind of warm milk and it kind of reached like spoiled milk.
Give the girl a juice box or something.
I have a bit of PTSD from that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, oh.
The rest of the lunch wouldn't seem too appetizing with that side of warm milk.
Warm milk and wilted lettuce.
No, thank you.
So you can understand why sometimes I wouldn't eat it, okay?
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
My parents took my boys mini golfing last week.
And,
they had never been. I didn't realize that before. They loved it. But my parents were telling me, they reminded me of a super funny story about what happened to my youngest brother years ago.
Oh, God.
When he went mini golfing.
Did he nut himself with a golf ball? Or
he went mini golfing with my aunt.
Yeah.
There's this place in my hometown of Saskatoon, the mini golf center and everything, called Putt and Bounce. It's been there forever
since
I was little.
Yeah.
Because I think Bounce, because it used to have trampolines. It doesn't anymore. But anyway, my aunt took my brother when he was young, and they had a windmill hole, like a hole with a windmill that you had to time and hit through the blades, you know?
Yeah.
And he wasn't paying attention, and he got too close, and the windmill knocked him into a pond. And then while he was trying to get up from the pond, the blade came back around and hit him in the head.
Oh, my God. I wish this was at a time where they had cameras, because Jesus, that a video that you want.
That would be... I would pay good money to see that, to see him get yardied into the pond by the mini golf windmill.
Oh, yeah.
And then he stands up to get brained by it again.
Jeez.
So they had to abandon their game, and my aunt drove him home, but he was soaking wet sitting in her car.
Oh, my God.
And then when he got home, my mom called to complain. I was young. I didn't know she was doing this, because I would have discouraged her from calling to complain.
Yeah.
She called to complain.
About what?
The mini golf, the wheel had attacked him.
Oh, yeah.
But, sorry, the fire alarm just went off here. That was distracting.
I know, weird. Okay.
But she was upset because they didn't offer any sort of compensation or anything. All they did was put a sign up on the windmill to be careful.
I hope the sign was like... for idiots only. Honestly, it's your fault that you got hit by the windmill, okay? Like, these are the things. We can't have nice things because of your brother.
I asked her, I was like, how old was he when this happened? And she said she thinks he was about 6. But in my head, he was like 20, 21.
I was thinking,
you know,
like 17 or 18. It's like, it's your fault, idiot. Yeah.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
Man, you can't really admit to anybody that you were injured playing mini golf, right?
You can't look cool getting injured. Playing mini golf, you sure cannot.
Like, you can't go to your... doesn't matter what happens out there, you can't say to your boss, I got hurt playing mini golf, I can't come in.
You sure can't. No.
It's the softest thing I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think I've told you this story years ago in the show, Shauna, but two friends of mine in high school were involved in a gruesome bowling accident. The one girl was... they were playing 10-pin bowling, so her fingers were in the ball, and she went to throw her ball, but our other friend thought... as a joke, he would run up behind her and throw his ball first to like beat hers down the aisle or the alley. And he hit her ball and it ripped the tip of her finger off. And then the ball jumped up and hit her in the face and broke her nose.
Oh, my God.
So the alley was covered in blood. She had a broken nose. She was missing the tip of her finger and had to have it reattached.
Nope.
From bowling.
Yeah, that's another one that you don't want to admit to. That's awful.
No. I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen... I wasn't there when it happened, but she came to school later and like was missing the tip of her finger and was all bruised up and from bowling.
That's awful.
A bowling accident.
Yeah.
Nasty.
Terrifying.
You could probably put a bowling lane in your home.
It's amazing you say that. That new building, Lincoln, that's coming just down the street from us, going to have a bowling alley.
That's right. I've seen like the renders of that new building, and it looks like it's got some pretty sick amenities. It also looks really cool on the outside, but often renders make it look cooler than it actually does.
For sure, yeah.
I also think it's quite expensive to live there, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Although I was thinking, and I saw their bowling alley amenity, and I'm like, that's really cool. I'd like that in my building, but I like the open, the outside pool in my building too. I'm like, that's pretty good.
Given the choice between the two,
I would pick that.
I'd take the pool.
Yeah.
For sure. Your pool is pretty sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm sure that is something that Shane Holmes could do for you with their affordable customization.
Hell yeah.
We've talked about all the cool stuff that they've put in houses at the request of their customers.
Yep.
Like we said, your imagination, I think, is basically, well, and money, but your imagination is their limit.
Yeah.
But they do offer a customization more affordably than many other builders do. So talk to Shane Holmes if you're thinking of building or buying. You can learn more about them at ShaneHolmes.com. Shane Holmes!
The better way to build.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Apparently, everybody's buying solar eclipse glasses in anticipation of the big solar eclipse on April 8th right now.
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Do those really work?
Yes, and you actually need them to view the solar eclipse properly.
Aren't they just a piece of cardboard with like a little hole in them?
No, that is like, I think, the simplest way you can view a solar eclipse.
Okay.
But these are, it's almost like a welding glass.
Oh.
And it darkens the sun so that you don't hurt your eyes looking at it.
I was going to say, apparently everyone's selling out of them. So I was like, I could craft some cardboard little glasses if people would like to buy them off of me.
Yeah, I forget like what number of glass you need to view it properly.
Okay.
But yeah, they're a real thing. They're
all right.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that a friend of mine from Australia is actually going to view the total solar eclipse?
Really? I don't know if I want to hear this. I'm so bummed that I'm not going.
I know.
McKenna was going to,
Oh, come on, fire alarm?
The fire alarm testing.
Come on.
McKenna was going to send me and Bo to Texas to see it.
Yeah.
And then a bill came up with a vehicle or something, and we didn't end up booking the trip.
Oh, crap.
And so I'll have to wait for the next one now, which doesn't happen that often, but...
To be fair, it's outrageously expensive.
Yeah, my dad's buddy's going, and I think he's... I forget where he's going, but I think he's paying $2,000 a night for his hotel.
Yeah. That's our friend Mexico, which is normally an all-inclusive for like $1,500. It's going for like $2,000 for just the flight alone.
Holy crap.
And I was looking at rooms, and on average, yeah, it's like $2,000 a night in Mexico.
We considered going to Mazatlan,
yeah,
because that's right under the path of totality. Mm-hmm. And when I looked, it wasn't bad. It was like normal Mexico prices, but this was like a year ago that I was
looking. Yeah, it's gone up drastically. And he was saying that he spent a ton to get there. But yeah, he's going to be able to witness it. I was like, do you have an extra bed in your room, perhaps?
I know Niagara Falls is under the path of totality.
Oh.
And the mayor says they're expecting 1 million visitors, I think.
That's going to be a lot.
It's a lot of people, Niagara Falls isn't a huge place, right?
No. Wow.
So, I mean, people probably want to see, you know, such an incredible event at an incredible place like that. I was trying to pick like a small town
for sure
along the path of totality that I could like throw a tent in a dirt right beside a dirt road and see it.
I mean, that would be the coolest way to see it, but I didn't know that it was that cool. Like Niagara Falls, I could go and swing by, see my parents, drop by there. But
how are you even going to get in and out of that place if there's a million people coming?
Complete madness.
Yeah, it's man, I'm so sad I'm not going to see it. Like, it's supposed to be one of the most amazing things that you can witness in person. Like, people have just... The descriptions that I've heard people say, it's almost like a religious experience. Like, it'll change the way you think about the world and yourself and everything. So...
It's crazy.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'll get the next one. I mean, there's always the risk that you spend all that money and you go and it's cloudy.
It's true.
Which would be a real bummer.
Can you imagine spending $20,000 and all of a sudden it's like, can't see a thing.
I know. That'd be a huge bummer. I think there are a few baseball games that are happening during it. There are some concerts that are happening during it.
Yeah, that would be
so... There'd be a lot of cool ways to view it.
Mm-hmm.
But not this time.
Damn it.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Bit of nostalgia for Throwback Thursday for you,
good.
Shauna.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you were growing up, I know you had a pool in your backyard, but did you ever swim at like the Civic Leisure facility? Did you ever swim at like the city's aquatic facility?
Yeah Well, we took a swim lessons at the YMCA.
Okay.
So that
YMCA
was our version of that. Yeah.
Were there like Brampton, because you grew up in Brampton, were there like city run ones too?
There was.
Did you ever go to those?
The odd time.
Did they have concessions?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My parents lived just down the street from a big indoor city run aquatic facility, and we swam there all the time.
Yeah.
And the aesthetic of this place was amazing, Shauna. Like, it was straight 1980s Miami vibes. Like, they had fake palm trees and, like, neon signage.
Oh, man, that sounds awesome.
And, like, all the pinks and teals that were big at that time.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, it looks dated now, but it's just so, like, it's so ingrained in my childhood.
That's phenomenal.
You know?
Yeah.
I absolutely loved that aesthetic. I still do. But there was a concession there and a sort of, like, patio area.
Yep.
So you could get French fries or popcorn. Or candy.
We had candy. I remember the candy. I don't remember French fries or popcorn, though.
And then you'd come out of the pool, and you'd sit on this, like, fake indoor patio, and with your, like, wet, clammy hands, would eat candy. And it was just, like, the best feeling in the world. And you'd gobble that up and jump back in the pool.
You know those pink marshmallow ones?
Yes. I don't know what they're called, but
I don't either. But I used to get those a lot, and then your fingers would be stained all pink because they'd be wet, and I'd be eating those things, mowing them down, and then, just dyed pink fingers.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
I can still remember the smell of it all, too, because, like, you could smell the deep fryer that they had going mixed with the chlorine and the humidity in the place, and it was just, like, what a nice, like, warm hug that was.
Really, though? Yeah.
I was trying to think about the Civic Leisure facilities in Calgary here, and I know Southland Leisure Center had or still has a concession adjacent to the pool.
Okay.
I don't know if Village Square does or not. I haven't been to Village Square since I was a kid.
Yeah.
But it's just the best. That I don't know if they're, like, doing that with these new pools that they build.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad, though.
They've got to be. You got to keep the concessions going.
Oh, man. In Saskatoon, all the concessions in the city facilities were run by the same Greek family.
Oh, yes.
And they would staff it themselves and everything. And some of the brothers kind of looked alike because they were brothers.
Right.
And 8-year-old me just couldn't figure it out. I'd be like, but you work at the other pool. And now you're here.
That would be magical. They work at all of them.
Yeah, it was just a magical place.
You're providing me the candy and the fries from all of the places.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
I don't know if you saw this, Beckler, but Kyoto has announced that they're banning tourists in certain areas because people have been disrespecting the culture in Japan.
Really?
Yeah. I guess there's certain areas that they still have geishas that walk around and stuff, and people will, like, stalk them, and people are just going in areas they're not supposed to, and it's still a very religious area. So I guess tourists are just showing up and being completely disrespectful. So Kyoto's like, okay, we're going to keep certain areas off limits for tourists. You can't go here anymore because you've ruined your privileges.
I think that's where my brother is going to be living in the fall.
It's too bad. Kyoto is my favorite. The first time I went to Japan, it was in the summer, and Kyoto was my favorite area because it's still very old world Japan.
Okay.
So when you go there and you walk around, you really get a feel for how Japan used to be, you know?
I can appreciate that because so many major cities around the world all feel the same, right?
Yes.
We have the same stores and
absolutely.
The same.
Absolutely.
Like,
and to go to Tokyo, right? And Tokyo is just a bigger version of New York Times Square and all of that. They all look the same now, whereas Kyoto is very different, and you really do get thrust into, like, a different culture.
Cool.
So love it. So I was like, this is really too bad. Then it got me thinking, though, and I was like, if we were to do that here, if we were to ban a certain area from tourists, and I'm not talking about, like, let's ban tourists from Banff, right? That's obviously not going to be the case.
Right.
But if there was, like, just a little tiny area somewhere around where you could just kind of keep the tourists out, is there anywhere that you could think of?
I know. Because, like, you want people to come and see the good things that you have. You'd like them to behave when they're here. But,
yes.
I mean, tourism is big money.
Yeah, it is.
And you can't, like,
gatekeep.
There's the word. Yeah, you can't gatekeep all the best stuff about.
Of course.
Geez, I don't know. Like, I've never seen Moraine Lake, and I've lived here for almost a decade now because it's just too busy. I can't get there.
Yeah.
So I've seen Lake Louise.
Yep.
Back when it was still, like, when you still could get to Lake Louise.
Mm-hmm. Which is a bit tough now, too. So.
But I've never seen Moraine Lake, and I don't really intend to go, like, wait in any of these lines or anything. So,
totally.
I mean, it would be kind of cool if the people living here could experience that if it wasn't so overrun with tourists.
Yeah, maybe even just like a day that we as locals could go and enjoy that, you know, take a little look-see.
Maybe that's the answer.
Yeah, just a
maybe
tourist
have like
off
a tourist
day.
Season.
Yes. And then times. Because, I mean, we shut the roads and stuff for safety's sake out in Kananaskis and stuff, right? Certain roads are only seasonal. It's like maybe, and again, we're more well-versed and capable of maybe driving in some of these more sketchy roads. So maybe it would just be locals only for a certain small window.
I mean, the cool thing about locals only is that we know about places that the tourists don't know around here, which is
it's true.
it makes you feel kind of special.
I was even thinking like a small area of Kananaskis. You know, like you can have Banff, you can have Canmore, but is there one little part of Kananaskis that we could just have for ourselves as locals? It's already less overrun.
That's
but
why
it's
I prefer
there.
Kananaskis myself. But
just one little portion of it, right? A little.
Yeah.
Or even at the ski resorts. Let's say there's a bit of slack country or something that's just, it's out of bounds for tourists, but as locals, it's like you can hit West Bowl, but not anyone else.
I like that. So you still have access to the full resort.
Yeah.
It's just like, but you really can't go over there.
A little bonus part.
But you know, everyone's going to be like, what's over there? What's so great that they're hiding back there?
That's the problem, right? Then everyone will be, what's this?
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Well, the old carbon tax is set to go up again on April 1st, and there is quite a lot of opposition to that this time around.
23% is what it's
supposed to go up by, right?
That's which quite a bit.
They said on a liter of gas makes about 3 cents difference.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, there's all the downstream costs of that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of the opposition is just because everything is so unaffordable right now, and it's just one more cost to nibble away at you, right?
That's just it, right? Yeah.
Uncle P, Pierre Poilievre, has threatened a motion of non-confidence. And I believe that vote is going to happen today. I think the NDP and Liberals are likely to have enough votes to defeat that motion, which means it would not trigger an election.
No. Nope.
But I mean, even some Liberal premiers around the country are against this tax increase. So it's not strictly a partisan issue.
No. Nope.
Might be at the federal level, but I don't think Canadians in general feel that way.
No.
Pierre Poilievre has been campaigning on this issue for the last little while. And like, if you look at any of his speeches on this, there are these signs that they've had made up, and people in his supporters are holding the signs, and there's even one on the podium sometimes when he's talking. And there's two slogans that they've been using: axe the tax and spike the hike. Clever.
Catchy. Catchy.
Yeah.
That's a catchy slogan
That's, it seems like if you want an effective political slogan, it needs to be just, it's great if it rhymes.
Yes.
And it's got to be as simple as possible.
Yep.
Like, if you can trim any fat on it, you have to do that.
It's true.
Axe the tax. Spike the hike. Could you think of any others, Shauna, that they could use if they wanted to?
Fight for your right. Say no to tax hikes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bit of a stretch.
It's wordy. But,
yeah.
Yeet the fee if you want to
be
the Gen. If you want to, you know, appeal to the Gen Zs.
Yeah, okay.
Yeet the fee.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Take a Chevy to the levee.
Oh, that's good.
Uh-huh. Too long again.
I thought protect your daughters from tax slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a stretch, but here we are. You know, I'm just thinking of something that rhymes.
Iron Maiden has a song called Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter. That's graphic now that I think about
it. Oh, God. Let's revolt. It's tax assault. That's all I got. I'm stretching.
You got to pare it down. Like, just to. Axe the tax is almost like a sound.
I know it is. Like, axe the tax.
Maybe we go even just to a sound.
Yaks the tax. Like, yeah.
Tax?
Yaks the tax.
Nope.
How about that? Just tax.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Etymology with Shauna.
Thought of the word threshold yesterday. I was like, where does that word come from? Threshold.
Threshold. Are you talking about like a physical threshold? Like a door that you cross?
Yeah, or just anything
or
in the manner of
threshold?
Figurative threshold. I was like, why do we call it threshold? I forgot, of course, that like thresh is straw.
Oh, yeah.
So this actually dates back to medieval farmhouses.
There's a machine called a thresher, I think.
Yeah, there is. And a big gust of wind could bring all of the straw and debris through the open front door of these medieval farmhouses, rather. So to stop this, there was a plank that would be fastened across the base of the doorway to keep out the thresh or straw. So it was literally a threshold.
Oh, okay.
Called the thresh out, and that's why we call it threshold.
Now, is this like pre-door?
Yeah.
Like these places didn't have doors?
Well, it would be like an old wooden door with like an old plank that would go, over to keep that door from swinging open. But yeah, pre-modern day door, this is what they had, and that's why it was called a threshold, because it would actually keep the straw out. So.
And I guess if you're like a medieval serf living in a straw hut, you probably don't have, you know, a finely crafted door that closes tightly and...
Nope.
That makes sense.
It would just always blow open. I guess it was a common thing where all the barnyard animals and all the barnyard thresh or straw would just be blowing through the door. And So yeah, they're like, we need to fix this. So they did it with this threshold, that plank of wood. So there you go.
That's interesting.
I have another one for you as well. So drawing rooms, I mean, we don't have those that often anymore, right?
No, but I just finished watching Downton Abbey, and it's a big deal for them.
It is.
I sit in the drawing room.
Go to the drawing room.
The drawing room.
And this is when back when ladies were, you know, considered a little too delicate. So if you wanted to talk politics or anything else like that, the men would retreat to this drawing room.
Oh, is that why?
But they would withdraw to the drawing room.
Because after dinner on Downton Abbey, they always say, should we go through?
Yep.
And then the ladies and men separate, and the men will
withdraw.
Go have a drink.
Yep.
Oh,
and so
and it's because the ladies were too delicate to be hearing.
That's why they couldn't hear about politics. Huh. And it's called the drawing room because it's essentially just a lazy way of saying withdraw. It used to be a withdrawing room. It was where the men would withdraw to go. And now they're just like, no, let's just call it the drawing room.
Wow.
So it has nothing to do with actual drawing. It just has to do with ladies are too delicate to deal with politics and smart things. So the men would have to go withdraw to discuss such things in the drawing room.
And I mean, Downton Abbey was only set 100 years ago, so that's
that was not long ago.
Not that long ago that
we were too delicate,
allowed to, too soft.
What's politics? What? Etymology with Shauna. The
Beckler and Shauna podcast. I was cleaning my youngest son's, son Brigham's room the other day, and I was vacuuming under the bed, and I found something under there that really bothered me.
What was it?
An Edmonton Oilers hockey puck.
Oh God, where did he get that?
I don't know,
did
but he brought it into our house.
Talk to, give him a stern talking to, being like, we can't be having this in the house.
I mean, as a parent, you try to do everything right.
You do.
You know?
Yep.
But they meet these other kids at school, bad influences.
Yeah.
And they bring that kind of crap into our house.
Paraphernalia.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you have to talk to him about it, I guess, right? Like, say, we can't be seeing this anymore.
No.
Yeah, you gotta quit.
This could take you down a very dark path from which it's difficult to return.
This is the gateway to danger, okay?
Yeah. How should I punish him? Make him cheer for them for the whole season?
Oh, God.
Multiple seasons?
Yep. Then get him a jersey that he can throw on the ice later and out of frustration. Yeah.
Yeah, hugely disappointing.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I don't know what I did wrong. I blame myself.
I mean, you can't blame yourself, right? It's not the you've been a good parent. You've tried to support them in all the ways you can. So
the Beckler and Shauna podcast.
How many hours did you spend as a kid playing mini sticks in the halls of hotels during hockey tournaments, Beckler?
A lot. Yeah, that was a big draw. Unless the place had a water slide.
Oh.
Then we'd be water slide.
Well, of course. Yeah.
Water
I never
slide
did.
First, mini stick second.
Makes perfect sense. I never did as a kid because, of course, I didn't play hockey growing up, so I didn't get to go to the tournaments. But I've stayed at a lot of hotels where tournaments are going on, mm-hmm. and the hallways are just packed with kids playing mini sticks. Like, just packed.
Not anymore.
Really?
All the hotels have, like, policies against it. They make the parents sign waivers when they come in that say you won't play mini sticks in the hallways.
Well, it's funny because the last hotel I went to last weekend, they had this huge sign on the door and all over everything saying no mini sticks would be tolerated and that it was a hotel policy and you absolutely could not. And it was everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, just covered every single... I was like, they've clearly had an incident. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah, I'm sure it's just like... the noise and the damage to the walls and stuff and the...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, every mini sticks game ever ends in a fight, so...
Fair.
So a friend of mine, he made this collapsible mini sticks arena. And it's in his basement right now, but it folds up and he could take it on the road when his kid's hockey team goes to tournaments. So then they could set it up in like the conference room, the hospitality room or whatever.
That's unbelievable.
And it's actually, I shot a video, I did a parody of Noah Kahn's stick season. It's mini stick season.
Right, yeah.
And it's on my socials and you can see this mini sticks arena in the video. I did part of it in this guy's basement. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome. But that's how they're getting around the hotel ban.
Gotcha, mm-hmm. gotcha. Because I talked to the hotel staff about this and I was like, okay, clearly like what's going on here? And she was like, yeah, well, what happened was... there was a kid who was playing mini sticks and he shot the puck at one of the sprinklers and it actually set off the entire sprinkler system. And she said it shut the top two floors of the hotel and completely flooded it. And she was like, the hotel was shut for like months as we had to, of course, renovate from this kid who shot... whatever, a ball or puck at the sprinkler system.
Is that how those sprinkler systems work? Like, you can hit it with something and they'll go off?
I don't know. According to her, that's how it went off in this case. And my God, I was like...
That kid's a mini sticks legend now.
Of course. I was like, he should be in the NHL. Really? Right. Especially if he took aim at that. But what are the chances of that, honestly?
It seems like a long shot. And also, I'm just laughing at the kids. Like, as soon as that happened, how panicked they would have been.
Oh, my God.
Cheese it.
Yep.
Cheese it.
And this woman was not, she was not happy. And she wasn't like the owner of the hotel. She was this young woman who, I don't know, she was like, oh, this hotel was shut for months and it was flooded. I was like, okay, all right. Well, that, I guess that'll take away your...
No mini sticks.
Mini stick privileges. Yep.
You've been listening to the Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's Alternative. X92.9, Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have Beckler and Shauna download it daily to whatever device you use. Later.